This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here's John Rustin, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. It is our pleasure to have Representative Jacqueline Schaefer with us on the program. Representative Schaefer was elected to the North Carolina General Assembly in 2012 and represents State House District 105 in the southern end of Charlotte and Mecklenburg County. She also currently serves as general counsel for Schaefer Associates, an executive search firm, and as an allied attorney for the Alliance Defending Freedom. She formerly served as a government affairs attorney for the American Center for Law and Justice in Washington, D.C., and years ago, I'm happy to say, was an intern with the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Representative Schaefer is with us today to discuss an important piece of pro-life legislation that recently became law in North Carolina, House Bill 465, the Women and Children's Protection Act. She served as the lead sponsor of this bill, and we're going to be talking with Representative Schaefer today about the new law and what it does to protect women and children in North Carolina. Representative Jacqueline Schaefer, welcome to Family Policy Matters. We're so glad to have you with us today.
Thanks so much, John. I'm glad to be here.
Well, it's just been great seeing your rise through the ranks at the ACLJ and now being a member of the state legislature. And I do remember years ago when you served as an intern at the Family Policy Council, we knew that you were a bright and rising star and are just delighted to have the opportunity to work with you in the State General Assembly.
Well, thank you. I certainly tell a lot of folks this, that my time at the North Carolina Family Policy Council was formative in terms of what I would end up doing in a relatively short amount of time later. So I'm grateful for those couple of years that I spent with you all.
Well, thank you. Well, turning our attention to House Bill 465, Governor McCrory signed this bill into law on June the 12th after it passed both the North Carolina House and Senate. The passage of this law is a major pro-life victory for North Carolina, and it really builds on important pro-life gains that have been made during the last two legislative sessions, both in 2011 and 2013. Now, House Bill 465 includes a number of important changes to our abortion laws, and I want to talk about those specific changes in a few minutes. But first, I wanted to ask you, Representative Schaefer, how significant, in your opinion, is the enactment of House Bill 465 to the pro-life movement in North Carolina?
Absolutely, John. The passage of House Bill 465, it was a long time in the coming and working through the different legislative agendas that we had both on the House side and the Senate side. When we sent the bill over to the Senate, they were able to add quite a few things to what we had already done, in the House version. But what we were ultimately able to come up with was really a great legislative victory on behalf of women, children, and families that are affected by the abortion industry. Amongst many things, many provisions in the bill, we were able to take some significant measures to ensure that women who are, seeking out an abortion or who are considering it, that they receive competent care and that they're given the appropriate amount of time when they want to consider that life-changing decision. So we really feel that this finished product that we have, that we're so grateful that the governor has signed into law, that it really does, it promotes safety for women, and we're really, really excited about it. It's one very big step forward for the pro-life movement.
Well, I couldn't agree more. Now, let's talk a little bit more specifically about what the law does. The change that received the most attention has to do with extending the mandatory waiting period for abortion in North Carolina from 24 to 72 hours. Tell us about this provision and why extending the waiting period for abortion was such a significant and critical part of this bill.
Well, you've really nailed it on the head. I mean, it is the central part of the legislation, and there are a lot of incredible provisions, which I know we'll hopefully have an opportunity to talk about, but really the most important part of the bill is this new 72-hour waiting period. So under the law before House Bill 465, a woman was required to wait 24 hours after receiving certain information from her doctor before she could actually undergo the abortion procedure, and this is part of our informed consent law. Now, she could receive that information via telephone or in person, and that's a very important part, is that she can receive this information just with a phone call. So what the new law does is that it extends that 24-hour waiting period to a new 72-hour waiting period. Really, the reason that we see it as the most critical part of the bill is because, quite frankly, it saves the most lives. And it does the most to promote the emotional well-being of women who are considering this very big decision. In the the House committee, you know, we heard it in Health. We heard numerous testimonials from women, whether they were there in person or some had sent letters to be read by someone else on their behalf. And they kept, you know, we heard this common theme. I wish I had had more time before I made that decision. I wish that I had waited before having an abortion. It's irreversible. Some said I would have changed my mind if I had had more time, and I wish I could go back. So we feel that extending that 24-hour waiting period to 72 hours, it gives women more time to think through what is truly a life-changing and irreversible decision. It allows them the opportunity to consider their options, because there are options other than abortion. There are alternatives. We heard testimony as well from doctors who said, you know, we have individuals who come to see us, and in any traumatic or critical kind of situation, whether it's in the abortion situation or another medical situation, individuals, human beings, you know, they want the easiest, quickest fix, because they are faced with a devastating situation. And really the best thing for any person under those kinds of circumstances is to wait and to hear the options that they have. You know, back to some of the women who testified, you know, we heard that there were so many people who did not even know that there was support out there, both emotional and financial. If they'd had that information, or if they had, frankly, been you know, asked to wait a few more days, they might have made a different decision. This is out of the mouths of these women testifying to us. I mean, it was very heartrending to hear this. Statistically, the longer a woman considers that decision to abort, the less likely she is to make that decision. You know, it's hard to pinpoint an exact number, but some say that we reduce the number of abortions in the state by approximately 1,000 per year for every day that a woman waits before aborting. So under the new law, that's an estimated 2,000 lives saved per year. You know, so that's why I can say very easily this is a critical part of the legislation. I mean, it saves lives, and it saves women from a lot of emotional grief, from that, you know, post-abortive emotional distress. So I'm very, very excited that we've been able to get this piece of legislation through.
Well, we're excited as well, and we've heard very similar stories, especially from pregnancy resource centers across North Carolina, who are really on the front lines of dealing and building relationships with women who are considering abortion, and they tell a similar story over and over again. Now, Representative Schaefer, another key part of House Bill 465 deals with mandatory annual inspections of abortion clinics by the state. Prior to the enactment of House Bill 465, what did the state require regarding the inspection of abortion clinics, and what does this provision change about those inspections?
When I came into the House in 2013 and had the opportunity to, you know, kind of jump on board of some of the pro-life legislative projects, you know, we were starting to look at what the state was doing to inspect abortion clinics, and what we found out is that in large part the state simply wasn't doing them. I mean, there were a few cases where a very egregious complaint for prompting an inspection, but we dug pretty deep into these situations and found that many clinics at the time were operating under just simply unsanitary conditions. There were honestly horror stories about the improper administration of medication. There were individuals under the age of 18 who were involved in some of these activities, and of course, since the state wasn't really inspecting them, these things weren't coming to light. So, you know, as you know, the Department of Health and Human Services in North Carolina did come under new leadership in 2013, and we learned at that time that the department itself was coming to a similar conclusion that we were, that it really wasn't discharging its duty in this respect. But despite their own findings, you know, the legislature wanted to come in and be absolutely sure that we were regulating these clinics appropriately. This is no simple procedure. This is no light thing that is going on in these clinics. And so we want to make sure that women who are seeking to obtain an abortion, that they're doing so in a safe and sanitary atmosphere. So under House Bill 465, what we have done is that we are requiring that every clinic where an abortion is performed is going to receive an annual inspection. And that's important in and of itself, to make sure that things are going correctly, that things are going in the right direction. You know, this is a medical scenario, and we want to make sure that sanitary conditions exist and that these procedures are being done appropriately, that we don't have these cases of the improper administration of medication or individuals who simply should not be participating in these medical procedures, that they're not part of it. But in addition to those inspections, what the new law requires is that DHHS is now going to have to publish its findings. You know, once they've done these done these inspections of these abortion clinics, they're going to publish their findings from these reports on the Woman's Right to Know website, which is part of DHHS. So again, you know, we simply want to make sure that for those women who do find themselves seeking an abortion and who are going to undergo that procedure, that they're doing so in a safe and sanitary atmosphere.
Well, there was also an additional provision that placed certain requirements on physicians who would be able to perform abortions in North Carolina. Tell us about that, if you would.
Absolutely. I think this is a very common sense provision. Essentially, the new law requires that physicians who perform abortions, other than in a medical emergency, that they must be board certified or at least eligible for board certification in obstetrics or gynecology. At a minimum, they have to have sufficient training in safe abortion care, abortion complications, as well as miscarriage management. We really want to make sure that the people that are best trained to be performing these procedures are the ones who are actually doing them. We want to make sure that the most qualified and most trained individuals are the ones that are engaging in this kind of medical procedure.
Representative Schaefer, as we close, I think it's also important for our listeners to understand that, especially with important and as some people would consider it to be controversial legislation like this. Certainly, there were people who had strong opinions on both sides of this issue. We heard a lot from abortion advocacy groups as this legislation was moving through the General Assembly. And if you will, just to give a sense of sort of what you were dealing with as a member of the legislature pushing such an important bill through, talk a little bit about the battle that you faced over House Bill 465 and some of the tactics that the abortion proponents used to try to defeat this bill.
Sure. You know, when anyone engages in these types of pieces of legislation, whether you're a lead sponsor or you've signed on to it or you're simply voting for it, you know, wherever you are in that process, you're going to face that battle. This is a hot button issue for people. It's a very emotional issue for people. There was quite a bit of battle over getting House Bill 465 through. And really, the most frequent tactics that I saw coming from abortion advocates and those who would not support House Bill 465, really those tactics boiled down to a misinformation campaign, whether it was about specific provisions in the bill or if it was things that I or my colleagues had said in committee or on the House floor. You know, we have things that were taken out of context or simply misrepresented to people. It gives people the wrong impression about the bill. I think that the best way to combat that is to spread the truth about the bill and really get the facts out there. And, whether it's an angry constituent who calls in or it's a committee member who doesn't understand or it's someone giving public testimony, when I have the opportunity to explain what the bill actually does and what it actually doesn't, you can solve a lot of problems that way. And of course, you're always going to have people who disagree with you on the issues. There are people such as Planned Parenthood and the ACLU and other groups that frankly support abortion on demand, and they don't want any of these pieces of legislation moving forward. They take a provision of the bill out of context, or they don't give you all of the information, or they don't tell you that there's something that's already in the law. For instance, the 24-hour waiting period that can start with a phone call. That was a big issue that came up for us, is that people didn't know that women could start that time period, the 24 hours and now the 72 hours, with a simple phone call. You have these groups who are misrepresenting what the bill does or what the current law does, and you really just have to get the facts out there. And I always encourage people, read the bill before you ask your question about why we're pushing this forward.
Well, unfortunately, Representative Jacqueline Schaefer, we're nearly out of time for this week. But before we go, I do want to, again, thank you for your hard work on House Bill 465 this session. In addition to this bill, you have also been a primary sponsor of religious liberty legislation and a number of other very important measures. We truly appreciate you being the champion that you are for the sanctity of human life, for religious freedom, and for so many other pro-family issues in the North Carolina General Assembly. Thank you so much for your service.
Thank you so much, John. It really is an honor, and I'm grateful to have the opportunity to work on these pieces of legislation and to promote life at the General Assembly. So it really is my honor. So thank you.
Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919-807-0800. or visit our website at ncfamily.org.